We have gone through this just a few weeks ago in the Sunday morning services as we're going through the book of Galatians. And we'll restate some things here this morning and add some other things also. But here we find that Paul immediately in verse number 6 opens up the message, and he moves to the reason of his letter. And Paul really was thinking how impossible it must be, or how impossible it should be for a believer to so quickly be changed from the area of the grace of God unto established works in their life in order to go to heaven. And so in verse number 6, let's look at this. Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So here Paul is, I guess we would say, he's venting his frustration with them. He is marveled, he's shocked, and he is confused maybe in his own thoughts of why those folks would go to a particular doctrine that is diametrically contradicting the grace of God. We have stated this time and time again in our Sunday morning services here as we've gone through the book of Galatians, that salvation is a act of the Lord. It's an act of God, not of man, but it is an act of God that He has established us as His children. And certainly it is His work, not our work. It is His grace that has established us and given to us the salvation of the Lord. And to mix anything with that, you lose the power of the gospel. You lose the message of the grace of God, for grace simply means the unmerited favor of the Lord. And so Paul speaks this specific message, and that message was always the grace of God. You can read in the New Testament, for which Paul wrote the majority of our New Testament, and you'll find that in every book that he writes, almost every chapter, he alludes to the mercy of the Lord. He talks about the grace of God. He gives honor to the Lord for calling him into the ministry, calling him into the apostleship, and is always because of the grace of the Lord. He tells us that it is Jesus Christ that gave himself for us, that we might have redemption. Verse number 4 says that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And Paul recognized the world in which he lived was a wicked world. He realized that his society was one that was crumbling and disintegrating before him. And the Lord came to deliver us from that. And our world in which we're living is certainly crumbling underneath us. The foundations of the world, the foundation of Christianity, is being eroded away by the other gospel that is given to us and spoken here by the Apostle Paul. And so he marvels, he's surprised, he's shocked. He stands in awe that they could be so quickly removed from where they were. And of course, Paul and Barnabas were there that had established these churches, some four or five of them, and they've all now been infiltrated by these Jews that have come up from Jerusalem. And they're all in turmoil as to what really brings about salvation. And so Paul, in his frustration, he says, "I marvel." And of course, his frustration is used by the Lord to give to us the message that Christ and God was always also frustrated and could not determine why that they would remove themselves from something that is so good and put themselves again under the bondage of the law, or under the bondage of the works. And so we find here that the message that he gives is a message of warning them and instructing them that they must get back to the original, to the foundational message of the Lord, of the grace of God. And so he marvels. He's comes to this message that the grace of the Lord is something far different than what they might even consider, and the grace of God today is something that the world does not consider. But we have the Scripture before us. We have the Word of God that teaches us that this is the grace that has given us life. The Apostle Peter wrote concerning this lack of knowledge of people in 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want to read just a few verses here, verses 8 through 12. It says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though we, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." So the end of our faith results in the salvation of our souls and of our life. It says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently." Here Peter goes back to the Old Testament prophets, and he said that they had inquired concerning this salvation. They had searched it out diligently. And then he goes on and says, "Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed that not unto them themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you." So what Peter is saying here is that the Old Testament prophets literally preached the same gospel as Peter and Paul and those other apostles were preaching. And he says that now it's been given to you. And of course Peter was a very strong advocate of the Jews' laws. Peter had to be taught, he had to be instructed of the Lord that whatever God had made was to be considered not unclean, as he felt the Gentiles were. And so Peter got the instruction from the Lord, and now he's writing, and he tells us that the prophets of old, they inquired into this, but they didn't get the full view of it until Jesus came. And these Old Testament prophets, I'm sure, when they wrote the message like Isaiah would write, and Jeremiah and some of the other Old Testament prophets, as they would write those words, I'm sure they would stand there and they would read them and wonder, really, what does it all mean? Because Isaiah chapter 53, which is called the Gospel of the Old Testament, let's turn back there just for a moment, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, that very familiar passage of Scripture, and gives us here some things concerning the Lord that Isaiah probably did not realize all that he was writing. He didn't know the full extent of it. But he's writing under inspiration, and so therefore we have it here, and we can see it in the New Testament and know who he's talking about. Isaiah 53, verse 1. The Scripture says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness," or that word means beauty. "And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one from his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah is writing this in the past tense. It tells us here that he hath bore. That's in past. And everything that Isaiah writes in this passage is in the past tense. But yet he's writing of a future event that had not taken place. For he wrote these words some 700 years before the birth of Christ. And these words are a direct reference to the Lord Jesus. And that he would take our grief. He would carry our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Isaiah is writing all those things. And surely, as he writes this, he is in amazement as to what is God trying to tell us. And so the scripture here, Peter says, those that prophesied that grace, they testified beforehand the suffering of Christ. And certainly Isaiah did that, and the glory that should follow. And then he says they preached the gospel and that is sent down from heaven. And then he says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, says, which things the angels desire to look into. You see, there is no redemption for angels. There's no salvation for angels. They are the created beings of the Lord. They are created and sealed as perfect before God. And as they hear the message of the Lord, they desire to look into that, but they do not experience redemption like mankind. And so we find here that the prophets of old, as they wrote the words and as they preached the message, they were preaching the gospel, and many of them did not even realize the extent. And so hundreds of years later, some 750 years later, there was a man, and the scripture tells us about him in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter number 8, there's a man from Ethiopia. And there was a preacher by the name of Philip. And the man in Ethiopia, he was concerned about his life spiritually. And for that reason, he goes to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he didn't know how to worship. He didn't know who to worship. He didn't know what to worship. But as he was there, going or coming, he is sitting in his chariot and he's reading Isaiah 53. Those words that we just have read. So turn over to Acts chapter number 9. And we'll see how the message goes from Old Testament to New Testament and how it reveals the gospel and the grace of the Lord. I'm sorry, it's Acts chapter 8. In verse number 26, it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now Philip is in what we would call a spiritual revival. He is, if you read the verses beforehand, there are people that have gotten saved and people changing lives. And here all of a sudden the angel of the Lord comes to Philip and said, I want you to leave. I want you to go from here down to Gaza. And it's a desert place. It's a dry place. And spiritually speaking, it is a dry place also. And so Philip, maybe not understanding, he follows the direction that God gives to him. It says in verse number 27 of Acts 8, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. He goes to Gaza, he goes to the desert place under the direction of the Lord, and there he sees a man of Ethiopia. And he is there of great authority, the scripture says. He was a man that had authority under the queen of the Ethiopians and had charge of her treasure. He was a man of high esteem and high authority. And he was returning. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he returns. And he sits in his chariot and he's reading, in verse 28, Isaiah the prophet. In verse 29, the Spirit is very active in this passage. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. There's a reason for Philip leaving where he was to go to Gaza. And there's so many times in our lives that God directs our path that we don't understand all the ways, and we don't understand the crooks and the curves and the ways that He leads us, but there's reasoning behind that. And this man, Philip, he follows the direction of the Lord, and he sees this Ethiopian, and he's sitting there in his chariot, and he's reading. Now, he probably had heard Isaiah read as he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And he's on his way back to Ethiopia, and he's sitting there in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah. And Philip comes to him in verse number 30, and he says, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? You know, sometimes we have to ask people, do you understand? Is there understanding? Because without understanding, there can be no salvation. Salvation is not just some mystical thing that happens. We have to have an understanding of who we are, of what we are, what the Lord has done for us, how He has died for us. We have to have a mental understanding, but it's far more than mental. It becomes a heart matter. And Philip asked this man, he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says in verse number 31, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture that he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." Those are verses that we just, we didn't read all those, but we read that particular verse where he was as a sheep led to slaughter. And the eunuch answered Philip, verse 34, and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? Of himself or some other man?" So here we have the question of the Ethiopian. He's reading Isaiah. He's reading what we have in our Bible as Isaiah 53. And Philip goes and he sees him. And the Spirit tells him, "Go join yourself." He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "I can, unless some man show me." There's a these verses of Scripture are tremendous, soul-winning verses, how God leads us, because there is a man. He may not be from Ethiopia. He may be from Nigeria. He may be from Ivory Coast. He may be from Ireland. You look at all the flags around. But there are men, there are people everywhere that have the same need that this Ethiopian man had. And he has the need of salvation. And so there is a man. And you and I, we are that some man in verse number 31. He says, "How can I understand except some man show me or guide me?" Now that's the work of the child of God. That's where we come into position. The world is full of a man. The world is full of people that need the Lord. But they cannot understand. They will not come to a knowledge of the Lord unless somebody shows them. That's why the Bible says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." That's the showing. That's the revealing. That's the declaring of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that this Ethiopian, he said, "I can't understand it unless somebody tells me." The world out here before us, and we're starting our mission meeting this week, the world around us has to have somebody to tell them. Has to have some person, some preacher, some missionary, some family to go and tell them and give them the good message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "How can I accept some man?" We are that some man. We are that person that can reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he reads the verse of Scripture. And the eunuch said to Philip, he says, "Is the prophet talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else?" You know, sometimes folks will ask us questions and we think, "My, that's a simple question." But it's not a simple question if we have a question. It's not simple to us. It may be simple to us, but it may not be simple to them. I've had people ask me questions and then they'd say, "Oh, I should not have asked that." You can always, should always ask the questions that comes to our heart. Because here this man said, I can't understand it until you show me. Is he talking about himself? Is Isaiah talking about Isaiah? Or is he talking about somebody else? Notice the next verse. Verse 35. "And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." You know what that is? That's gospel. So the Old Testament prophets, they wrote of the gospel. They wrote of the person of the gospel. They maybe didn't understand. They didn't know his name would be Jesus. Maybe they didn't understand where, all the things of how he'd be born. And they didn't have all the scripture together like we have. Isaiah knew that he'd be born of a virgin. He didn't understand that because Isaiah 7:14 tells us he'd be born of a virgin. He understood that, but he didn't know her name would be Mary. He didn't know all the details about it, but he understood that there's one coming that I can depend upon because he's born in a particular, special way. Isaiah knew that the government would be upon his shoulders, for in Isaiah 9:6 says he's wonderful, he's the counselor, he's the Almighty God. And here Philip begins to preach unto this Ethiopian eunuch. He begins to preach unto him Jesus Christ out of the Old Testament. Thank the Lord for the message of the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And that message is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hundreds of years later, between 700 and 800 years after Isaiah writes Isaiah 53, here's a man that's reading it and doesn't understand it, and he says, how can I understand it except somebody tell me? Was he writing about himself? Was he writing about somebody else? And there just happened to be a man by the name of Philip there. No, he didn't just happen to be there. He was on a divine appointment from God. God said, you go to Gaza. Philip maybe didn't understand that. He's in the midst of a great spiritual awakening. There's people being saved. Activities. We all like activity. We all like action. And here the Spirit of the Lord says, go to Gaza, that desert place. Why do I need to go there? Because God knew there would be a man there that needed some man. And I'm grateful and thankful this morning that all of us, we that are saved, all of us have had that some man to show us. We've had somebody to explain to us. We've had somebody to reveal to us and preach unto us Jesus Christ. And so Paul, when he comes to the people of Galatians, he does not understand how they can be removed from the grace of God that's revealed in the Old Testament, preached in the New Testament, accepted by those Gentiles. How in the world can they go from the grace of God now to believing and having turmoil in their life that maybe we've got to do something else? You can be assured that when the Lord is dealing with somebody's heart, the devil is always there to put a counterfeit. He's always there to throw somebody up in the way, to block the message, to confuse the issue, to turn it around, because that's the only thing the devil has is counterfeit. He has nothing that is real. He has nothing that will save us. And so when a person is beginning to read and to understand and beginning to have knowledge, and all of a sudden the Lord of this world, the God of this world, Satan, he'll throw something in their way. It might be some false teacher. Very charismatic personality and has the attention of a lot of people, but he does not have truth. And all of a sudden, they begin to wonder, is this really what it's supposed to be? We better be that some man that shows and preaches Jesus Christ. Because the world does not have it other than through the people of the Lord. So Philip went where God told him to go. And Philip had the blessings of the Lord now because he was obedient. Somebody says, what if Philip had not gone? What if Philip had not, he'd have missed the blessing. If Philip hadn't gone, you know what? I believe God would have sent somebody else. If we don't do it, somebody will. God doesn't have to have me. He doesn't depend on me. God's work can go on without me. He can go on without you. And if we don't do it, we miss the blessing, but somebody else will get the blessing. For God knew that Ethiopian would be there, knew what he'd be reading, and knew what he needed, and knew somebody had to tell him. Now, I'm so convinced on some things that was going to happen. Wasn't anything change that. That man was going to hear the gospel. So Philip was obedient, and so Philip got the blessing. It looked like, boy, God's made a mistake here. Why would I go to Gaza? That wasn't the best place for a Jew to be. Why would I go there? Sometimes we question the Lord and we don't know why. But when it's all said and done, we can see the blessing of the Lord. I'll just relay a message to you that I got this morning. I got a phone call and I looked down. It was from Greg Liberto. Of course, Greg here a couple, 3 years, and Greg had some good growth in his spiritual life. And he announced the church. He's going to be doing some work in, I think, South or North Carolina. I don't know. Is it North Carolina? South Carolina? Okay. And so he's going to be going there. Wouldn't be able to be in church a whole lot and be going. He told me, he said, I will find a church. And he called not too long ago and told me, he said, I found a church that is not Grace, but I found a church that I can go to. And this morning he calls and he said, I just want to share something with you. I want you to share it with the people. And Greg was always, he was becoming very vocal in inviting people to church. And so he invited his son-in-law to go to church with him. Son-in-law, and then his son-in-law's brother-in-law. And they go to church with him. He said, I was even shocked that they went. He said, they went to church with me. He said, we got saved that day. And Greg said, maybe I'm here for a different reason. It could be that he's like Philip. And so many times we have opportunities that we miss. But whatever they're doing, the business they're in, I made them have prayer. He said, we pray before the day starts. He said, if they're going to be with me, they're going to pray. And so those things make a difference in the lives of people. Sometimes the most minute things that we think would be unimportant. So he invites them to church. They get saved that day. And he said, I don't know who is the happiest, me or them. And he said, I won't tell you. He said, we've been studying the Bible, and folks, I think, happened a couple weeks ago, and he said, they're faithful, they're going to every service. And he said, Brother R, you know they're right with God, they're tithing. And so, and I told Greg, I said, if the trip was for nothing more than that, the trip was worth it. It's worth it. For out of the grip of Satan, two men were snatched. Because, could it be that Greg was that some man? How often we can be. So Paul says, why, how? I marvel that you're removed from what the Old Testament prophets taught. And of course, Paul had been he knew what the Old Testament taught. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the letter of the law. He knew the traditions of the law. You see, by the time the Apostle Paul has come on the scene and he has studied under the teaching of some of the most austere teachers of Israel, Gamaliel, the rabbis had read Scripture and they had written down their interpretations of it. And those different rabbis down through the centuries had written different interpretations until there was confusion. They didn't know exactly what it meant. Sort of like today. And Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I knew all those things. But boy, I tell you what, in Acts chapter 9, that next chapter over where we read, there's a man by the name of Saul on his way to Damascus, and he met Jesus Christ, and the whole world is different because of him. You and I have the gospel this morning because Paul went to Galatia. He went to the Gentiles. He went to our people. He went to who we were. He didn't confine it to the Jew like Peter tried to do and like he tried to do at first. He now is scattered and he's been called as an apostle unto the Gentile. We, the Gentile people, had to have somebody to tell us the gospel. Because we didn't have the traditions of the fathers. We didn't have the writings of the Scripture. We didn't have the prophecy. We're just heathen. We had to have someone, some man. And I believe it all began with the Apostle Paul. Now he's upset because here's the Jews come and try to confuse the gospel. He said, you've been gone to another gospel, which is there is not another. You can't have another gospel. There's only one gospel. So he tells us in verse 7, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert it. Change it. Make it unreal. And so Paul says in verse number 8 and 9, he gives a real strong statement here. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says, if I come back to you and preach something different than what I did before, he said, let me be damned. That's what the word accursed means. Separated from God, never to be redeemed. That word accursed in the original language is much more than what we take it. Much stronger. And so he says, if I or another person or anybody else comes and preaches unto you another gospel, he said, just refuse it. Let him be annihilated. Let him have no hope of ever having redemption. That's pretty strong words. Paul says, even if it's me. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. There's two times, two verses. Paul says, let him be damned. Eternal condemnation. Really what our language? Let him go to hell. That's what it means. So the gospel is pretty important. It's not something we fool with. It's not something we tamper with to make it more pliable to our world. A lot of people today are making the gospel fun and games. It's dangerous to do that. It's not fun and games to consider who we are. It's not a circus when we realize if I die, I go to hell. It's not fun and games. That's a serious matter. That's a serious thing. We live our life, we die, we go to hell. Simply because somebody perverted the gospel. May God help us never to do that. That's why the gospel must remain pure. And so, if you have a different gospel, it comes down to that you have no gospel at all. If you have something that is perverted from what has given to us in the Scripture, there is no other gospel. Verse number 10. Paul says, Do I now persuade men or God? Who's going to have to change? Well, God doesn't change. So Paul says, am I going to try to change God or am I going to try to change men? Who am I going to persuade? For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul now comes to these Galatian people whom he has preached unto, seen them saved, seen them come together and worship the Lord. He said, somebody's got to change. And it's not going to be God. You know, this world in which we live, somebody's got to change. And it's not going to be the Lord. Paul, the Scripture, the entire Bible, what God has written, He has written and it remains. So do we change the word? Do we change the meaning? Or do we try to change men? We need to try to change men. But we're living, our society is sort of like maybe Paul was dealing with in this church. They were trying to change the way of God to suit the situation in which they live. The situation of ethics has never been right. It's either right or wrong. Somebody said, well, the situation I was in demanded that I lie. Well, you're in a bad situation, you shouldn't have lied. Because we don't change the Word of God. We don't change the truth. And so, when it comes to the gospel, we don't change that. So So Paul had an encounter with the Lord, and it changed his life completely. You and I that have been saved, we've had an encounter with God. Whoa, has it ever changed our life? It's us that's changed, not God. So he says, do I do that? He says in verse number 11 and verse number 12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul says, I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to college. I didn't get it from some man. He says, what I've got came from Christ. And so, he says, I certify you the gospel that I preach is not a man-made gospel. The gospel that Grace Baptist Church preaches is not a man-made gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ found in the Word of God. And so, Paul was a man that had all kind of understanding. His father was a Pharisee. His father was a Roman, but yet he was a Jew. He's a Roman citizen, but he was a Jew. And he was a Pharisee, probably a very prominent man. And a Pharisee was under rule from their religion that they strictly taught their children what they believed. And that's why Paul later said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul says, I was way up on top. Do you know what brought him down? That day he met the Lord. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how important we think we are. Doesn't matter what station of life we find ourselves. When we meet God, it changes our life. It changes my thoughts. Changes my ways. Changes my actions. And when I meet God and really trust Him, it changes my destiny. Not only has life changed, but my eternity's changed. It's not just by having a set of facts in my head. It's something that I believe in my soul. Something that I know is true. And one day, and as I've tried to instill these weeks, that it's not by learning. We do not become a Christian by learning, even though we must learn some things. We become a Christian by accepting and believing of what Christ did for us. This morning we'll be in Galatians chapter 4 in the message, and it's going to be all about Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about Him. It's what He did for us. What He continues to do for us. And Paul is telling these folks, he said, I can't believe. You know, I've said that in my own life about folks, different times, different ways. I can't believe that they would do this or go there. I can't believe they would change from what they are to what they're becoming. So soon removed. So we have to be aware, we have to be careful, because there is not another gospel, but there is a false gospel. It's not, when you have another, that means it's right belongs beside each other. You have a man, you have another man, that means you have two men. Or you have a gospel, you have another gospel, that means you have two gospels. And Paul says there's not another. You have the gospel, and then you have false. You have truth, and you have a lie. And so he is dealing with that all through the book of Galatians to keep the gospel pure. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. Not by the works of the flesh, not by the works of the law, not by any of those things. Just simply by the grace of the Lord. And Paul's pretty upset. These churches have been infiltrated by false doctrine. And there are folks that are falling off and going a different direction and believing a lie. And he says, I can't believe it. I marvel. And so he's dealing with that all through the book of Galatians. May God help us to keep things pure in our heart. Our lives also. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for the message of it. We pray now that You would give us instruction continually in our life, that we make sure we know our salvation comes from the Lord. Our Father, we are, as Your people, we are destined to heaven. We are predetermined that we will arrive because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Our Lord, we pray now that You would bless our time together this morning. We pray as folks will come in the regular service, those of us that are here even this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God would work in hearts and lives through the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us where we fail You. Bless us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.